It's time for Squawk Talk, talking business to business. Squawk Talk highlights business and business owners in the Atlanta area. Squawk Talk is brought to you by Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Squawk Talk. We're broadcasting live from the Eagle's Nest in the heart of Atlanta. My name is Kate Skirmerhorn. Joining me in the studio today is a great group of guests, each in some fashion dealing with a different aspect of the home or the homeowner. We have in our studio today Jeff Ruman from Fidelity National Bank.
Fidelity Bank Mortgage.
Thank you. Don Walters from the Ephraim Group.
Thank you.
Brett Duffy from Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage.
Glad to be here.
And Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors. Almost said Jeff
Thank
Keller.
You.
Welcome. We're going to kick off the show today with Jeff Ruman from Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Jeff, start us off telling us a little bit about Fidelity Bank Mortgage and what you do for them.
Fidelity Bank Mortgage is a local community bank. We're one of the largest community banks in the Atlanta area. We offer a variety of different services, financial services, bank products, auto loans, commercial loans, SBA loans. I work in the mortgage division, so we are one of the most successful mortgage divisions in the Atlanta area. So,
and we've had a lot of people, especially since 2008, there's been a lot of change in the mortgage industry that's been going on. Tell us, does people still these days still have to come up with that 20% that we used to know when we talked about mortgage?
It's funny you ask. I hear that a lot, actually, and that's actually never been the case. Not with your conventional lower income type loans, possibly in the jumbo category, which would be any loan amounts people wanting to borrow more than $417,000. But even now, you can borrow jumbo amounts with less than 20% down. Certainly, we've been able to do FHA with 3.5% down. VA loans have always been 0% down. And conventionals now just recently have changed to from 3 to 5% down.
All right. Tell us a little bit about, Jeff, there's all these different kinds of loans that you mentioned, just a few, the FHA loans, the VA loans. What are some of the differences in those type of loans that maybe people don't understand the difference between an FHA loan and a traditional loan?
Well, to some degree, it's based on where the loans are actually sold. Contrary to belief, most of the time when you go to your bank, your bank might initially lend the money, but they're really going to sell off that funding of that loan to a secondary organization. For VA and FHA, those are government-insured loans, so they're going to be sold off to what we call Ginnie Mae. So, which for conventional loans, which we understand to be Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which in the public and news now, we kind of hear about those, but nobody really knew who they were. They thought there were some funny names for ladies and men, but conventional loans are privately insured, so they're going to have these mortgage insurance companies that are going to insure those loans. Now, that's only if you put down less than 20% would you need private mortgage insurance, but those loans would be sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. So even though Fidelity might take your loan, we would not necessarily keep the funding of it, but we might send you your monthly bills.
Okay. And so if somebody coming through the crash of 2008 and the mortgage rates have been very volatile during that time. I've heard in and out, and I understand they're a little lower now. Does somebody who maybe experienced some of that crash back then, do they have to have perfect credit to deal with a loan these days?
No, absolutely not. Certainly some of the credit guidelines have become a lot more strict, but it's been mostly pretty much the same as far as the conventional and FHA market. Most lenders wanted certain credit scores that maybe back then we would have done down to 585. Now, we're going to require a minimum of maybe 620. Mm-hmm. So certainly credit standards have tightened up somewhat, but we're just not allowing the person that had a bankruptcy 3 months ago. They can't go get a mortgage right now. They're going to have to wait a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I always say we've really gone more old school. So we may have not be as free and willing to lend money as we were 7 years ago, but 15 years ago, it's actually easier to get a loan now than it was back then.
And why is that?
Most of it could be paperwork. It could be standardization, automation. We're actually able to verify certain things more reliably because of computers and technology. We have automated underwriting. So computers, I guess they tend to do a better job of humans of determining whether somebody's worthy of getting a mortgage or not. And back then, they just wanted to have something that would be a bare minimum. So they said the standard was a 28%, 36% debt ratio. 28% of your gross monthly income was allowed to be attributed to a house payment, 36% total debt, including the house payment as a percentage of your gross monthly income. So nowadays, you could go to maybe 45% for those numbers. So it there's been a lot more flexibility come out there.
Okay. So if somebody had that credit score under, what'd you say, about 630 or some thereabouts, you know, and I'm not trying to peg you in there, could they pay a bigger down payment if they had a lower credit score and still get approved in a home? Maybe they've struggled through that, but they're still working on getting that credit up, but they've been able to accumulate some cash.
Every lender has their different requirements, what we call overlays, where maybe FHA says it's okay to have under 620, but a particular bank or a mortgage lender, they might want something that would be a little bit safer for them and say, well, we want 620. And that's kind of our general rule at Fidelity, but there might be some requirements to do even that 620 credit score. Like they might have to put down more, mm-hmm. more money to get that loan. But below that, quite often they're going to have a hard floor just and just say that's...
Take your time.
That's,
be
yeah,
patient,
that's just,
wait.
Yeah, you're good.
So if somebody, let's think about like that first time home buyer who's never bought a house before, and they get excited, they've been saving their money now maybe for a couple of years. What kind of things do they have to get together to think about that putting together that mortgage loan?
A great question. A lot of people think they need to wait until they're actually going to purchase to actually do something. Well, I always recommend get it done earlier. It's okay to go ahead and do a credit check, get your information. A lot of times we can help you prepare for that. Maybe your credit score isn't 620 yet, but maybe there's some things that we can do to get that mm-hmm. score up a little higher, kind of give them some direction. Collecting their documents would be a good thing, you know, keeping good job stability. So, you know, job changes right before you want to buy a house, probably not the best idea, you know. Starting that new business right before you want to buy a house, probably not a good idea either. But there are some things that you can do. It's much harder to go from a wage earner to self-employed than it is to go from self-employed to wage earner. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit more acceptable, so.
Okay. We're listening to Jeff Ruman from Fidelity Bank Mortgage. Jeff, tell us a little bit about, you talked about being self-employed, going from that self-employed to that wage earner. Can that self-employed, the rules changed back in 2008 about that self-employed having some provable income. Have they changed back and swung back a little bit where that self-employed person can still qualify for a loan?
They've always really been able to qualify. It still is a little bit more challenging for a self-employed borrower, mainly just because they're going to actually have to document their income now. Before, they really didn't. If they could sign their name, and that we would joke in the industry, if they could fog a mirror, then we would get them a mortgage. That maybe wasn't always the case, truthfully, but it was a comic relief. But right now, they're just going to have to probably show anywhere from 1 to 2 years of tax returns. And those tax returns actually have to show that there's enough income to qualify. So.
Okay. And so if people are thinking about buying, but getting a mortgage, and we hear all the time you pre-qualify, how long does that pre-qualification generally last for people? Because if you think, well, I'm going to think about maybe next year I want to buy a house, do they get pre-qualified now, or do they wait until they start talking to the real estate agent?
I believe that they should always talk to the mortgage person first before the real estate agent puts them in their car and they find that perfect home that they are in so in love with, and now they can't buy it.
Right.
So it's either the wrong time, the wrong price range, the wrong payment. Quite often we might be able to qualify them for more than what they're wanting to purchase, mm-hmm. but they don't really want to make that kind of mortgage payment for that much house. So we can kind of give them that guidance beforehand.
And how far in advance should they be thinking about doing the pre-qualification? If you're putting somebody on a timeline, they're thinking, well, I want to buy a house. How far in advance of the pre-qualification should they thinking? Well, there may be some things that they have to do before they can actually start looking for houses. Generally, how long do you suggest people start that pre-qualification process?
I mean, I honestly think as long as you're thinking about it, you should go ahead and reach out to a mortgage person. Every individual's situation is going to be a little different. Certainly, they're going to want to know, well, how much money am I going to need to put down? How much money can I save up? A lot of times we can offer alternatives for them. There might be down payment assistance where they could actually buy a home right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you finding a lot of people talking? We'll be talking with Brent Duffy later about the market, but in a quick selling market, are you finding a lot of people are able to qualify for that home, second home that they want to purchase before they're able to sell the first home?
Yes, we can. in some degrees, we can qualify them. If as long as they can qualify with both mortgage payments, it's going to be fine. If they can't qualify with both mortgage payments, if we can show that they have a certain amount of equity in their current home, then we can, and maybe get a rental agreement on that home, then we can use that rent to offset the mortgage mm-hmm. payment. But they do have to show about 30% equity on average for a conventional loan, 25% for FHA. To be able to do that. So, but quite often we can qualify people with both houses, even though they may think they can't afford it. We can usually, you know, get them in there. We understand they're probably going to sell that house or rent it out. So it's.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about Fidelity Bank Mortgage. There's a lot of places that people can go out and get mortgages. There's banks on every corner. There's mortgage brokers out there. Talk to us a little bit about why somebody would want to work with Fidelity Bank Mortgage.
Well, we work with basically Fidelity Bank Mortgage. We really only hire some of the best loan officers that are out there. Quite literally, you must have some experience in the industry, have good reputation. So we do screen the mortgage loan officers fairly well. For the amount of and number of loan officers that we've got in the area, we do a tremendous amount of business. We're one of the top mortgage companies in the Atlanta area, and we hear time and time again that Fidelity is just a great place to go and get a mortgage. We work very, very much hand in hand with realtors, builders, and other referral sources where we can collect our business that way instead of maybe just putting an ad on television or something, maybe putting a billboard out there. We believe referral business is the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me a little bit about, I know this varies from person to person, and obviously from closing attorney to real estate agent varies, but what on average these days, how far are you seeing it's taking people to get closed on a house? I know there's a lot of variables in there.
Sure. It does depend on the mortgage company that's doing it. Fidelity, we routinely do closings in 30 days without any problem at all. Mm-hmm. Quite often we can do them in maybe as few, just as short as a few weeks. In some cases, depending on the loan type, it might take a little longer than that. But I think as a whole, we do a much better job of making sure that we can get our customers closed. It just depends on what their needs are. I mean, if they really need to close in two or three weeks, we're going to accommodate them.
All
so
right.
as best we can.
And people who are looking for that little quicker loan and they don't want that closing to take 60, 90 days or longer in some cases, what are some things that people can do to help the help themselves in the process or things they can do to avoid that can help make that process go a little smoother for them?
Having all their documents ready would be certainly a big advantage. So make sure you're keeping your bank statements. If you get them online, go ahead and make sure you get those PDF versions ready, tax returns, W-2s, pay stubs. A multitude of other documents, but for the most part, it's fairly painless if you are prepared. So.
Right. Now, Jeff, most people don't think of bankers as just loving their job, but you really do seem to love what you do. What is it that you just like about what you do, Jeff?
I tell this. I think this is probably not what most people would expect, but I like the puzzle part of it. I like working with people. I like the challenge of it. I like it that every situation is a little different. It's just not the same every day. It's never boring. So,
okay. And obviously you like to connect with realtors and closing attorneys and things like that. You talked a lot about referral business. Talk to us a little bit about how you make those connections as a mortgage lender. Most people think, well, the banker, they go and they sit in their office all day.
Yeah, that's what I thought too before I got into the business. And, you know, 20 years ago when I got in the business, the standard practice was pretty much just bring and buy some donuts to the real estate office and trying to strike up a conversation. And they used to let you just kind of walk in the door and talk to people. And nowadays, that's just not the case. But a lot of times you can market yourself via the Internet. You can pick up the phone and call some of them. You can interact with them in Facebook or LinkedIn. There's such a variety of different avenues. We go to Business Networking International, BNI. That's a great way to meet other people there. They can introduce you to other realtors. And a lot of times it's just when you have a transaction and a closing, and you go to the closing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that all loan officers really should do is go to the closings because there's another realtor there that you may not know that well, and you can engage with mm-hmm. them and get to meet them. And hopefully you did a good enough job, and they'll maybe want to use you for their business too. So,
So is that something that you typically regularly do, is go to those closings and be there as part of that financial transaction?
I do, and I try to stay in touch with my past customers as well via different venues of database marketing, letting them know what's selling in their neighborhood even. Quite often we can find avenues where that's done electronically, but sometimes it's just a matter of keeping track of kind of where people are with their things, and they just appreciate maybe an email or a phone call or something just to say, hey, I know you're still alive. People do like that. I think you can't really replace that face-to-face or at least a phone call. Sometimes email and internet can be just a little too easy.
Very true. Well, Jeff, if somebody's listening today and they want to get a little more information about you or Fidelity Bank Mortgage, how would they go about getting some more information from you?
Well, they can, of course, call me on the phone. Am I allowed to give out a phone number?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, 678-665-5333 is the best way to reach me. That's during the day, that forwards to my office. Or you can reach, go to lionbank.com. That's lionbank.com, and just find an originator is the section on that website. So,
great. Well, Jeff Ruman from Fidelity Bank Mortgage, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Our next guest on the show is Don Walters from the Ephraim Group. Welcome, Don.
Thank you, Kate. How are you?
Very good, very good. Why don't you start us off telling us a little bit about what is the Ephraim Group and what do you do?
Well, the Ephraim Group is an independent insurance office. We call it a one-stop shop for all your insurance needs, from a personal home and auto to your commercial, general liability, workers' comp. We have built our agency to be able to take care of all our clients who walk in the door, basically.
All right. Now, you said you were an independent agency. What does that mean?
I've been in the insurance business over 20-some years. 15 of those were as what they call a captive agent, which means you work for some of the big-name companies, and that's your total book. If it's a State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, whoever, that's who you work for, period. And as an independent, I have the opportunity to work for companies like Hartford, Travelers, Auto Owners, Donegal, on and on and on. And that allows me to, as Jeff had mentioned earlier, the puzzle of dealing with people. Different scenarios have different puzzles. Different companies look at those differently. And I have that option to look and get you the best value versus I have one box, a State Farm box. You either fit in that box or I can't help you. And that's why I liked them. That's why we left the captive world and went independent.
All right. And so you're dealing with homeowners and you're dealing with businesses alike and all the toys that come with homeownership.
Exactly.
What are some things in terms of the homeowner that they need to be thinking about in terms of their homeowner's insurance that maybe they don't think about? Maybe they don't think about that jewelry rider, for example, or some things that people forget about when they're looking at their homeowner's insurance?
Well, that's a good question. The basic point is, a homeowner's policy, I think, give you one of the biggest misnomers about a homeowner policy is it's not a maintenance policy. A lot of people think, okay, I'll go in there and my air conditioning, it breaks down and I got to get repaired, and so I'll call my insurance agent. Unfortunately, depending on the insurance agent you got, they'll turn in a claim and then you'll have a zero claim against you, and that's never good. So you need somebody that'll talk to you and go, no, that's not covered. Be upfront with you. Be honest. Mm-hmm. And jewelry, basic poly covers $1,000, but if you've got more than that, and if you don't have more than that, your wife's going to talk to you about getting more than that, you need to cover that. And it's just little things like that that a good agent's going to sit down and talk to you about and help you understand versus, okay, here's a policy, get you in, get you out, and they're looking for mass sales, and that's not the way we operate.
Mm-hmm. And so if somebody is thinking about those claims, and what are the kinds of things that people really should consider putting in for a homeowner claim? If you say, well, those little things, the maintenance things, if the water heater busts, is that something that you do? I mean, you hear people getting new roofs all the time. What kinds of things should people really say, yep, that's definitely where you want to think about putting in a claim?
Well, anything major. Most of the typical deductible now is $1,000. So then you've just got to stop and say, okay, how much is it worth? All right, if it's $1,050, do I want to make a claim? Because all you're going to get is $50. Of course, I had one gentleman. He says, I've been paying insurance for 20 years, never made a claim. He had a $250 deductible. The insurance claim was $300. He wanted his $50. Okay, that's his right. We processed it for him. No problem. First claim he's ever had. Unfortunately, 10 months later, he had a water pipe burst. Mm. And it flooded the house. Now he's got two claims in 12 months, and his $600 a year premium now is at $2,400 a year. Mm-hmm. Was it really worth making that $50 claim in the beginning? So we try to educate our clients and say, all right, here's the scenario. you're the client. We're going to do what you want, but realize there are consequences to everything you do. Mm-hmm. And that's where we try to approach things like that.
So let me ask you, when people have that disaster in their house, their water pipe busts or a tree falls in the house, what is the first step that they should call? Obviously, if there's a fire, you want to call 911, but do they call the insurance agent, your group, since you're kind of dealing with multiple groups, multiple different insurance agencies, or do they call the 800 claims number? Where do you suggest that they start?
It depends on what it is, I guess. You know, like you said, if it's a fire, call the 911, call the fire department, please. But I have had been the second call on a fire, and that's a good thing because I have stood at the middle of the 3 a.m. standing here watching a client's house burn. That's one of the advantages or the loves that I have being able to help people. You know, a lot of people think, oh, insurance, they just sit around behind the desk and they collect money and they're rich, big old fat, sassy people, and that's all they do. I wish. That'd be nice. I haven't found that part yet. But, yeah, it's helping people. That really, insurance is there to help put you back where you were before when you've gone through something hard, a catastrophe, and that's what I like about it. And as far as what to do, most of them, depending on what it is, call us. And then, you know, we'll call, you know, companies like Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, you know, and say, look, got a busted pipe, maybe the supply line for the toilet came off and it flooded the house and now we need some repair work. And so we'll call people like your company, and they'll come out and clean it up, and then we'll step in behind them and do it. One of the things that people don't realize is you're to mitigate damage. And basically we're saying, if something happens, it's your responsibility to minimize the damage. I've had clients call me and say, hey, my water pipe bust this morning, and I need to know what to do. My first question is, have you turned the water off yet? And you'd be surprised how many people go, I don't know how. And wow. So... they have a responsibility in that. We try to walk them through it. And I think that's one of the differences in our agency. All the guys I've brought in, I've trained, are caring people, and they understand when you go through a catastrophe, you're not always thinking clearly. So we try to help walk through that process.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about your team. You said you have a group of guys, and it's not just you sitting behind the desk. You have a team with you. Tell us a little bit about your team.
I do. We have five other producers and some office staff. We kind of specialize in working with personal lines and commercial lines, not to minimize it, but personal lines is pretty cut and dry as far as coverages and everything. Commercial side is a little more expensive because depending on the type of business you've got, you need other coverages that are just not, unless you're in the business, you don't know about them. And so we've kind of spread that out. We've got specialists in there, and then we've got, you know, some guys who kind of have a general knowledge of everything. So mm-hmm. We try to stay well-rounded to help our clients as much as we can.
All right. We're listening to Don Walters from the Ephraim Group. Don, you just mentioned a little bit about your commercial side of things. Talk to us about what you do for businesses and what kinds of things that businesses need to think about in their insurance. It's not just insuring their equipment, but what other kind of things do businesses need to be aware of when they're thinking about talking to an insurance agent?
Well, I think one of the biggest things as far as dealing with commercial guys is they're small business people for the most part of our clientele. And what I try to explain to them is I'm a small businessman too. So I realize it's not like, you know, the commercials. I love the commercials on TV. Well, people come to us, say $500. Well, people come to us, say $520. Well, you come to us, you say $550. Well, I figure every 6 months change to one of the others, and by the end of 2 years, they're paying you for their insurance. We all know it doesn't really work that way. So you've got to have somebody that's willing to sit down and has an understanding that you don't have a blank check. There is some regards of cost and consequences, and as a small businessman, I'm there. I understand that. I do it on a daily basis for my own company. And so it helps me, you know, to explain to them, all right, in a perfect world, here's where we've got. But now maybe we have to back off the perfect world and say, what's a budget world? And then we try to find out for the budget, what's the best value? And then that's how we approach not only the personal lines, but especially the business guys, because they've got to keep the doors open, and that's what we try to help them do.
Mm-hmm. And when you're thinking about business, a lot of times people talk about they needed to get that umbrella policy. Talk to us a little bit about what that means and who really needs to have that kind of policy.
An umbrella policy is basically, and they call it an umbrella because it sits on top of all your under coverages. So like in a commercial realm, you've got your commercial auto, you've got your commercial general liability for somebody getting hurt on the property, you've got businesses or your business property where maybe somebody's coming into your office, and so you've got all these things. So somebody comes in and gets hurt, and maybe they slipped and broke a neck. I mean, it crazy things happen. The crazy stories I could tell you. So you've got $1 million general liability. But this person was, you know, a player for the Atlanta Braves. And now they've broken their neck and they'll never play baseball again. Do you think they're going to settle for $1 million? They're probably going to try to get a little bit more than that where they get a good lawyer. And the umbrella is just a policy that will sit on top of that and help provide extra coverage. A typical umbrella on a commercial side is anywhere $2 to $4 million. I have seen contracts that require $10 million umbrellas, depending on the size of the contract. So it just depends on a lot of times, not only the business and the business assets, but the contracts they're working with as far as an umbrella goes. But that's what it is. It's just a policy that sits on top of all your other policies. Your underlying policies may pay out, and they max out. The umbrella comes in and pays in addition to that.
Excellent. Now, do you ever find that people need a personal umbrella policy? Is there ever a reason for that?
Well, that's a very simple question. When people walk in and say, how much insurance do I need? I go, okay, let me ask you this. How much are you worth? Because if you carry – in the state of Georgia, most people know state minimum is 25, 50, 25, which means $25,000 per person for injuries, $50,000 for injuries of the accident. You've got a $500,000 home. You got a couple of nice cars. Well, maybe three or four cars because you got kids. You've got a good IRA going. You got a 401 going. And you're carrying $25,50. You run into somebody, maybe it's ice on the road, it wasn't your fault, and you T-bone them and you break a hip. Break their hip. What's a hip cost? $50,000, $60,000, and they're going to lose 3 months from work, and you know the pain and suffering. You're looking at a $150,000 claim easily. But the contract with you got with my insurance company says $25,000. Now, if you've got all those assets, do you think a lawyer is going to look at all those assets and stop at $25,000?
Probably not.
Probably not. So that's why I encourage people, look, you've got to protect yourself. That's what insurance is about from an auto aspect. And then the umbrellas are on top of that because, you know, if you get a $250,000 underlying policy and you got multiple damages or maybe, heaven forbid, you did kill somebody in an accident, the umbrella comes on top of that and just protects you. That's what it's for. And that's what we walk through people. We just walk them through it, say, here's what the coverages are. And I never ask somebody, what are you worth specifically? You don't have to tell me a number, but I make you think, what are you worth? And then I'll say, you got to make sure you're covered.
You got to tell Jeff what they're worth, not you.
That's right. Jeff has to get all that dirty stuff.
That's right. So if somebody, what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make, business owners, for example, make in terms of their insurance? We talked about the homeowners filing those little piddly claims, you know, $50 over their deductible. What are some of one of the biggest mistakes that maybe business owners make in terms of their insurance?
Quite often it's dealing with stuff like inventory. And when I mean inventory, when I say inventory, a lot of people think about it. Oh, that's the stuff I got in the warehouse. Well, what about your inventory you've got on the van going out to the job site? You know what? A lot of policies don't cover that stuff once it leaves the location. And you know, you've got a van out there full of flooring that's got $20,000 worth of material running down the road, and he has an accident, and all that flooring's destroyed. Mm-hmm. He calls the insurance company and go, well, was it in the warehouse? No, it was out on the road. Oh, sorry, it's not covered. It's little things like that that if you're not dealing with somebody that understands what the possibilities are. And that's what I do for people. I try to, you know, I walk in insurance guy and the business owner says, no, I don't need that coverage. I just simply paint a scenario. And if the scenario says, he clicks in his mind, he goes, ooh, that is a really strong possibility for me. Yes, I need that coverage. One of the biggest crazy things right now is what they call data breach. It covers you in case somebody hacks into your computer and steals all your clients' information. Because guess what? You are legally liable if they get charges on their credit cards because of information they stole from your computer. And most people don't do that or don't know that. And they go, oh, I don't have any of that information. If you get their name and address and, you know, date of birth all on your records, yeah. Okay. That's liable. And that's cyber crime is the biggest crime going against insurance right now. So that's something I always try to talk to my people. How do you keep your records for your clients?
Very good. Well, Don, if somebody's listening and they'd like to get a little bit more information about you or the Ephraim Group, how would they go about doing that?
They can call me at the office, of course. Our office number is 770-676-6688. We're on the web at theephraimgroup.com. We're on Facebook. We're out there pretty good. So if you start Googling us, you'll find us, and we'll be happy to help anybody that needs it.
Very good. Don Walters with the Ephraim Group. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Our next guest is Brett Duffy from Coldwell Banker Residential Mortgage. Welcome, Brett.
Oh, thanks for being here.
Brett, start us off telling us a little bit about Coldwell Banker. Now, you are the managing broker over in one of the Coldwell Banker offices. So tell us a little bit about what you do in your office.
Well, what I do is I actually manage the office. I have about 80 agents that work for me. And we sell real estate or help people buy real estate all over the city. And really all over the state. We actually have a listing right now in Jessup, Georgia, believe it or not. Hotel, if anybody wants to buy a hotel. So I guess that leads into we do also residential and commercial, not just not just residential, and we do leasing as well. What we do that's wonderful is we really full service our clients. Like our relationship with you is we do the same thing. When one of our clients calls up, and Don was talking about, they're going to call out and reach out to Eagle and say, hey, we need somebody to come in and help take care of this. We do the same thing. We've got people that we've got lined up that if somebody needs a service of some sort related to real estate, then we know who to connect them with and can get them connected and taken care of, because that's what we like to do.
You try to be the complete go-to for your clients.
Absolutely. Full service all the way.
Very good. Well, tell us a little bit about, start us off with, how is the market out there? We hear people talking about it's a buyer's market, it's a seller's market. What is going on in the market today?
Well, I'd like to be able to give you a very definitive answer of what's going on in the market right now, but I'm one of those people that kind of holds back a little bit. What I will tell you is that the market is up for the most part across the metro. In numbers and looking at the metro numbers, we're up about 20% in price, average sold price, this past month versus the previous same month last year. And so that's a good sign. What I always like to follow that statement with is that we are not at the peak of the market. And so, unfortunately, if you look at the same statistics for what is actively listed, that number is not up 20%. That number is up about anywhere up from 3 or 4% to maybe a month ago, it was down 0.5%. And so it's just basically staying pretty steady. And what that says to me is that a good majority of property that stays listed and doesn't sell is significantly overpriced. And so that's kind of what's out there right now. So it is definitely, for the most part, in most parts of the city, and I say that very generally, is a seller's market. But you can't go crazy, because all of a sudden you end up in a position where buyers are much more educated now than they were 10 years ago, from the standpoint of all the information that they have at their fingertips. And so they come in and they know if your house is overpriced. They're not just basing their offers off of what it's listed. Mm-hmm. They're paying a lot more attention than that. And that's good for everyone, I think, in the long run.
Yeah. So are you finding that there is a need for more listings? Is there a shortage of homes on the market, or
yes,
are they just not selling as quickly?
No. When they are priced right and put on the market in a good condition, and we talked about that, and we'll talk about it in a minute with Keller, that they're, you got to have it, it's got to look right, it's got to be what the buyers are looking for, then it sells very quickly. And we're able to market it out to the world and oftentimes get multiple offers and really put the seller in the driver's seat as far as making sure they get the most benefit out of that transaction for them. But the other side of that is, yes, if it's been sitting on the market for 60, 90 days, it's probably not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah. So if somebody has gotten that pre-approval, they're looking for the house, and they've gone out and they've gotten their pre-approval, are there, it's just still a bidding war on houses, being a seller's market? How does the buyer prepare for going out and looking for that home?
Well, I do want to say, Jeff said, definitely we want to talk mortgage and then real estate, and I completely agree with that, because you don't want to go out there and start looking for houses, fall in love with something, and then not be ready to jump, because if it is a multiple bid situation and you're not prepared with the right documents, with like a pre-approval letter and those sorts of things, you're going to fall short in that bid war. And so you want to really be prepared and know what you're going after. I think from the standpoint of a buyer's mentality, trying to prepare themselves to go out, it's very important that you're focused on listening to what your expert advisors are saying, okay? Your mortgage person is talking to you about what you can afford. They're talking to you about what the rates are, what's going on, how quickly you need to lock in, all those types of things that are mortgage related that are outside my purview, but we let those experts talk about it. But your real estate, your realtor, they're here to help you understand how to manage that process. If you find the house that you fall in love with, but you're just committed to getting like the best deal, you know, your buddy got a deal that was like 80 cents on the dollar, and so, well, this house is listed at 200,000, and so we should, you know, we should offer like 150. Well, that's probably not a good idea if it's really worth about 225 and there's going to be multiple offers and you're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, listen to your agent. Get an agent that knows what they're talking about, and don't be afraid to have high expectations from your agent, because I think that's the other thing that gets looked over a lot in the industry is that, you know, every agent's the same. Well, it's not true. It's just like every mortgage person's not the same, every insurance person's not the same, every flooring person's not the same. Everybody has their different skills and different expertise, and you want to find somebody that has the expertise to actually assist you. That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. You know, the days of the realtor being there to find the house for you and tell you which houses are for sale, those are gone. I mean, anybody with a smartphone can find a home for sale. I mean, you know, we walk around and it points them out to you. It's kind of crazy these days. But we're here as experts to advise you through the transaction. That's why we enter into agency contracts with you instead of just, you know, flying by the seat of our pants, so to speak, and telling you, oh, yeah, that looks good. What do you think? You know, right. Well, that's not how we approach things. And I guess my comment would be is if you're out there working with somebody, hold them to a high standard. They're a professional. They should be doing a good job for you.
Well, that leads into my next question is where we're thinking about on the seller side of things. There was a time and place years ago where it seemed like everybody and their mother had a real estate license. I think some of that maybe has, because of the market back in 2008, that maybe some of that has fallen off. But what does the seller, if someone's thinking about selling their house, what kind of things should they be asking that real estate agent to say, this is the professional that I want to represent and help broker my $200,000 deal? People forget that these people are brokering $100,000 deals for you, not just ringing up fries and a burger.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's a very good point. These are big transactions. I don't care how much you're worth. Most often, your property that you either live in or have as a second home or however many homes you have, it's a major transaction for you. It's not pocket change. And so you do want to hire somebody that's an expert. And so as far as what you look for in a good listing agent, you want to look for somebody that has good backing, good power from a standpoint of what do they bring to the table. And when the world of listings, it's all about marketing and exposure. You know, our properties, our listings are exposed to over 16 million people every day on 575 plus websites. Now, you know, oftentimes people talk about, oh, well, my listing's on 10,000 websites. Well, our listings are probably on 10,000 websites too, but I couldn't tell you what they all are. I have enough trouble keeping up with 575. So, you know, we talk about what we actually have some moderate amount of control over as opposed to just the broad width of the bandwidth of the World Wide Web, so to speak, because, you know, you got to have control over it to really make it functional. But that massive exposure, you know, one of my favorite comments is you're looking for somebody that's a neighborhood expert but has global exposure. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, that's one of our big strengths as Coldwell Banker is we have an international brand that's very well known across the world with, you know, 3,100 offices and 80 some odd thousand agents across the world. It's a great network that we tap our listings into. So it's really beneficial from that standpoint.
Are you finding that buyers are still having to compete with investment companies and investment groups these days?
Not as much. You know, the typical owner-occupant buyer, the person that's buying a house for themselves, most of those properties that were going to be snatched up by investors have kind of gone by the wayside. And so your actual occupant buyers are really competing against each other, not the investor market. Now, the investor market is still out there, and there are a lot of people getting into that investment market. And you know, as they look at other ways to put their money in and make money off of their money, real estate's not a bad thing to look at. It can make you a lot of money if you're paying attention. And what we've seen is that investor market is less about kind of the buy and hold model that it has been for many years, most recently, is it's more of a let's buy something that needs to be fixed up, because still to this day, the average buyer wants something that they can walk into and start living. And so those properties that are not in that good a shape, they make great investment flips, because you can buy it and put a little money into it and then sell it to a buyer that actually wants to live there.
Mm-hmm. We're listening to Brett Duffy from Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Brett, tell us a little bit about, if somebody's thinking about selling their house, what kind of things, how far out do they need to start preparing their house to be sold? If we're in a seller's market and people think, oh, well, you know, it's going to sell in 30 days, I don't have to do anything, what kind of things do people need to definitely take care of in their house, and maybe things they do that they don't have to, but how far out should that process start for them?
Well, that's a broad question, so let me try and piece it out here. I think one of the interesting things is that, yes, a lot of times sellers put their house on the market with the thought, oh, well, it's going to take 3 to 6 months to get it sold, and so we'll be good, and we sell it next week. And so in our presentations, one of the questions we always ask is, you know, what happens if I sell your house tomorrow? You know, what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? How's that going to work out? Because we want to make sure that we don't leave anybody hanging and in that bad situation of, oh, well, I'm really not ready to go yet, because that just doesn't do well for anybody involved. So we try to make sure we understand the timeline and all those sorts of things. As far as what you do to the house to get it ready to sell, you know, the more move-in ready, I always like to think of it as this, you know, builders are out there building model homes, and they sell entire neighborhoods off of a model home. And if you've been in a model home, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It looks perfect, right? And it's not personal at all. When you walk into a model home, there isn't anything in there that's somebody's. And the reason for that is because then buyers can see themselves living in that property. You know, an unfurnished house is very difficult for people to kind of see how the furniture is really going to fit and lay out, and those sorts of things. We like to neutralize as much as possible, freshen as much as possible. But at the same time, you don't want to spend a ton of money on something making it renovated the way you would like it to be, because then you might want to stay because it's what you like and it might not be what buyers like. And so, you know, again, calling in an expert early on in the process, you know, just like if you're a buyer, you should call in a mortgage person very early in the process. As soon as you start to think about going to buy a house, talk to a mortgage person. As soon as you start to think about selling your house, start talking to a realtor. Because as a realtor, we can come in and tell you what needs to be done, what doesn't need to be done, which can be as important as what mm-hmm. needs to be done, and how far to go and how, you know, how to kind of restrain what you do as opposed to going over the top.
Could save a lot of money in the process.
Absolutely.
So these days, I mean, obviously, as we spoke with Jeff, there's a lot of variables in terms of closing, but typically how long is a house on the market these days?
You know, these days our average on market has dropped below the 2 month period, and is rapidly approaching the 1 month period, which is excellent. You know, there's a lot of inventory, not a lot. Let me rephrase that. There is inventory out there that has been on the market for a long time, and so it really kind of skews that average. But you know, what we're seeing is most of our properties sell generally within 30 days if they're priced and positioned properly and look good. And are what we say they are, you know, because that's always the other thing is all of this available media doesn't always necessarily portray exactly what the house looks like.
Right.
You know, if the agent leaves off the picture of the backyard with the train tracks at the back
right.
edge of it, you know, then people are like, oh, great house. Why is it so cheap? Well, because there's a railroad track. So we like to try and give a true picture because, you know, you're wasting everybody's time if you're trying to sell something that's not really there.
All right. Well, Brett, you've mentioned that you have 80-some-odd agents in your office, so you obviously cover all of Metro Atlanta and North and probably a little bit south.
Absolutely.
If somebody was looking to get a little bit more information and how they could interview some of your agents, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can call me directly. My cell number is 678-404-0803, again, 678-404-0803, and that follows me around, catches me in the office or on the road, wherever I happen to be. You can also go to cbatlanta.com, that's cbatlanta.com, and that gets us directly to our office page in Dunwoody. And then, of course, the other thing that I'd like to throw out there is that in this growth market where we're getting more and more business out there, and you talked about the number of agents, we are probably about half the number of agents that we had, you know, years ago, not in our office, but as an industry as a whole. And we are in the process of hiring more agents. So if you are interested in getting into the real estate business, give me a call or stop by the website. And if you're specifically looking to get into the business, the website is careers.cbatlanta.com. And so you can get a lot of information there and sign up for seminars and learn all about it. And we'll walk you through the process and help you be successful and make money.
Fantastic. Well, Brett Duffy from Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Thanks for being on the show today, Brett.
Thanks for having me.
Last guest on the show today is Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors. Welcome, Jeff.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Jeff, start us off telling us a little bit about Keller Interiors and what you do for them.
Well, Keller Interiors has been here in Atlanta right around 22 years. It's a family-owned company in our office in Marietta, Georgia. We're also had branched out in the last 14 years. We're in 11 states, and we have 12 offices. We're a major insulation group is all we do. We don't do retail. So if you've got materials you bought somewhere at your favorite retailer, or you've made the trip to Dalton like a lot of folks do here in Atlanta, you call us. We install it for you.
All right. So unlike a lot of flooring companies, you don't have that showroom for people to go to. You're simply there to help them with that install.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's what we've always been. We're a workroom, which on our side, people think we're a little bit crazy. Maybe we are. But what a lot of folks have done on the retail side, they don't want to handle the install side. So there's two different things. They want their people to be able to sell product, and they want to leave it to the professionals to do the installation for them. So what we have done here in Atlanta and all our offices as well, we have folks that actually go out and do the detail. You call up your retailer. They say, okay, I want to carpet my house. Well, how much carpet do you have? Well, it's in every room. Well, that's great. We know that, but we still need to get an answer. So what we'll do is like the other folks here do. You've got to know what you're going to sell, how much you're going to sell, and how much the customer's going to need. Educate them. What rooms are wood? What rooms are tile? What rooms are carpet? So we'll go out and do a full detail. We have four full-time detailers that cover Atlanta. And Atlanta nowadays is from Griffin to Cumming to Conyers to Villarica and all points in between. So we're constantly in probably 20 to 40 houses a day here in Atlanta, times 11 nationwide. So that's how far our scope is and how big we've gotten. But all we do is the install side.
All right. So in a lot of ways, if somebody is that do-it-yourselfer, they like to go to the Home Depot, they like to go to the Lowe's, they really don't have that expertise on how to do an install. Mm-hmm. You're exactly the person that's going to help them come do it instead of their buddy down the road for a six-pack of beer.
Well, and that has evolved. You're 100% right. People that are internet savvy, they are a lot smarter on the products. The products have changed from the old days where, you know, your guy could take liquid nail, put in your vinyl floor. Well, what the liquid nail does nowadays, it bubbles up and blisters it, and then your floor is no good. So what we call chucking a truck, the dinosaurs, they've about gone the wayside. It's everybody's certified. Insurance is big, as we know sitting here at this table mm-hmm. today. Insurance is paramount. Checking floors. What's the subfloor? Is the floor going to fall through? We're running into a lot of rental properties now. Where you get out there, it's a new dynamic. The rental property deal here in Atlanta is massive. You go there, floors are falling through, haven't been upkept, and then the customers want it in by tomorrow. Well, there's a few steps that we've got to take to let you know what it's going to need to be done right. We're going to do it right one time. If you don't want it done right and then you don't want to pay a little extra to have it done, then we can't help you. So we want to do it right the first time and move on.
All right. So there's a lot of great deals, as you mentioned, up in Dalton, the area, and people can go. Are you able to help that homeowner to say, we'll even go up to Dalton and pick it up? Or does the homeowner have to have all the materials there at the home and you just come and do the install? How does that work with your company?
No, with our warehouse, it's about 10,000 square feet. All of our locations operate the same, warehouse and offices. We have services that go to all the retailers that wherever you want to buy. If you want to go to Dalton, we'll pick it up there. If it's something small that you bought from, and I won't get into names of folks, that you went and bought the wood. You want the 300 or 400 square foot of wood at your home. Go there, pick it up, take it to your home. We'll come out, put it in. If you want to do blind, what we call do a blind install. You call us up and say, okay, I've measured my room, and we'll go out there and install it. But here's the beauty of it nowadays with the internet. Why don't you take us a couple of pictures? You know, give us some dimensions of that room. Let's see what you got. So when we get there, we'll know. Pull that carpet back in the corner. Let us see the subfloor. You want a new tile in your bathroom? Well, it's got tile on the floor. Take us a picture of it. Is it loose? What's the toilet? You got leaks back there. So we'll coach you up, but the internet has just come miles and miles and miles. We do a lot of work now with customers where we don't even have to talk to them anymore. It's via email. They'll get us off of Craigslist. They'll call us. Some of them will, and you know, via credit card. Some of them are, we never say a word to the customer. All they want to do is email. They want you to come to their house, and they don't want to hear no more from you until the next time they want some new flooring, which we'll go out there and help them install it.
So are you mostly working with the individual homeowner? Are you working with contractors? Or what type of companies and people do you work with?
We're doing both, and it's really stepped up. Like Brett here says, the rental programs, the retailers are back selling a lot of houses. They'll call us. You know, they want some carpet put in tomorrow. They've got a house going on the market. We'll get that done. Contractors, yes. Build-outs, basements are coming back big time. So remodeling is doing well. And just across the board, the retailers that we have always installed for the past 20 years, their sales are up and booming again. So it's a good cross-section of everybody coming back big time and very strong.
Mm-hmm. And are there any types of flooring surfaces that you don't install?
Yes, heat weld would be on light commercial, which we do commercial as well. For us, commercial nowadays is an office build out, a couple hundred yards of glue down carpet, some VCT. We got away from the high rise stuff. There's too many big guys, and half of them just don't go right. But heat weld floors, there's some slate products out there that we don't do, exterior that we wouldn't do. But pretty much, if it's in your house, we've probably already installed it. So and have smarts enough to know if there's something you haven't done and it's something that we don't do, that we'll tell you no, we won't do it. And instead of going out there and wrecking somebody's floor, and then you've got another problem on your hands.
Okay. We're listening to Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors. Jeff, have you ever had to have to come in behind somebody who thought they could do it themselves and found didn't go quite the skill set that they thought they had and had to fix their problem on top of installing their problem?
Yes.
New flooring.
Yes, and some of it, if it's not the individual homeowner, it's the homeowner that got the handyman. And handyman have always kept us busy because they're good at what they do, but they don't do flooring quite right. And generally, it's the vinyl floor, stuff like that, or even some carpet if you're going to get a couple of rooms. They may get the room in right, but when it comes to putting the seam in the doorway, or once that room gets bigger than 11 by 11, the guy's got a problem. And then it comes to, okay, well, the heat iron, I don't have one of those. I'm going to just do a knee kicker operation here. And then it goes, pattern match goods. Pattern matches are back in carpet big time. They don't know what a pattern match is. So it's just like doing wallpaper. You walk down that hallway, there's six doors, there's six different patterns. So, yeah, the handyman and the do-it-yourselfers will always keep us busy. I have no doubt about it.
So if somebody is thinking about putting in that new carpet, what is the flooring or the hardwoods, what are some of the first steps that they need to do when they're thinking about calling Keller Interiors?
Well, the other one, internet now, it's big. Like the gentleman at our table, we get a lot of hits off the internet because we've grown our customer base here. We've probably been in 500,000 homes in Atlanta. Pick out a product you like, be it from the neighbor, find out where they got it. Go look at it somewhere before you try it. It's like just like going out and buying a car. There is so much information on the internet to get from all the products. Not only that, you can get samples sent to you. And if you're that worried about it, call us. We'll come out there before you get started. Once we, you know, or even our detailers, they're ex-flooring people. So have it ready for them. What do you want to do with it? Is it an 80-ounce carpet, a 20-ounce carpet, 60-ounce? How long are you going to live in this house? Well, do you want to buy a base grade product that, you know, you got installed 25 years ago for $6 a yard? Well, now the labor costs $6 a yard. Well, I got my whole house done for 10, including everything. Well, now that same product with labor and pad is $25. So people are sticker shocked because a lot of times it's 10, 15, 20 years in between putting in a floor. Mm-hmm. But if they do their homework, get on the internet, research it, you'll get it done. And customers, believe me, are smart. They know their products. They've researched them. And they'll help you install it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you go in and help somebody, say the dog's torn up one room of the house, can you go in and help them match a carpet to what they have existing?
You can get close on some. Generally, if it's a hole in the carpet the dog's chewed up, we can take your carpet out of your closet, fix it, and put a little bit different color in your closet. But yeah, we'll still do minimum restresses for people. That's just part of customer service. I mean, it still goes back to that. No job's too small. Yeah, it's some of them are, you know, they're a break even for us. But if we don't do them, you know, we wouldn't stay in business, because next year, when we did that little job for you, a year or two down the road, it's going to come back tenfold. It always does.
Okay. And so you mentioned you're all over the multiple states. You're not just here in the metro Atlanta, but you're multiple states.
Yes, ma'am.
And so if somebody had a relative down in Florida, what other states are you covering that somebody could say, oh, yeah, you know, my Uncle Joe lives down
there? Well, we're in Miami, Tampa. That's Florida. New Orleans, Charlotte, Charleston, Denver. New Orleans. Birmingham, right down the road from us. I think Houston is coming this summer. And there's probably going to be four or five more. Eventually, we're going for the West Coast. And we operate the same all the way across. If you go to our website, www.kellerinteriors.com, you'll see the office staff, you'll see the warehouse, and all of it's the same. Now, pricing, obviously, is going to be different in each market. So for you folks listening today here in Atlanta, if you want to, you can contact me at our office. Just go on the Internet, jefffoster@kellerinteriors.com. And then I'll call our manager out there and let him know you may be calling. Likewise, if you're in another state and you need our measure service, we'll do the same thing we do in Atlanta. So nothing changes. The personalities will change there and your pricing. So from that standpoint, we'll install your flooring, be it Denver, Miami, or Atlanta.
Okay. Jeff, you may have just helped out a lot of housewives out there thinking, I want new carpet, and I don't know how to get my husband to do it, because mm-hmm. he keeps saying he's going to do it. Now they have that solution out there.
Yes.
Very, very good. So you mentioned you do a little bit of commercial work as well, but mostly just in office installs?
Yeah, it's office installs. We've been down the road several years ago that we were going to be, you know, big players in that, and found out our deal is doing homes. We're a residential company. We're doing a couple dental offices right now, eyeglass places. Still do some banks. Something that, you know, we're there two or three days, and we can get out and go home and enjoy it. And then everybody stays locally.
Yeah, very good. Well, Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors. Jeff, if somebody wanted a little bit more information, you mentioned your website again, but we'll give you another chance to plug it again. How would they go about getting some more information from you?
Go to kellerinteriors.com. And you can find all of our locations, managers, phone numbers, or you can call me directly on my landline, 770-850-0617, extension 205. If I don't pick up, just leave me a message. We'll get back with you right away. Or you can also, here in Atlanta, call Mike Stone at kellerinteriors.com. He's a local guy, too, that works with me.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Well, you've been listening to Squawk Talk, where we talk business to business. Special thank you again to my guests, Jeff Foster from Keller Interiors, Brett Duffy from Quabble Banker Residential Mortgage, Don Walters from the Ephraim Group, and Jeff Ruman from Fidelity Bank Mortgage. I'm Kate Skirmerhorn with Eagle Carpet Care and Restoration, taking care of all your floor cleaning and restoration needs. To listen to this show and other Squawk Talk broadcasts, go to squawktalk.businessradiox.com. Until the next Squawk Talk, remember, when you're ready to get the job done right, set the eagle in flight.